You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I am the Associate Director of Young Adult Ministry for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and a very warm welcome to all of you. I am here with our Director of the Office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Kate. How are you
on
this
doing great,
fall day?
And how are you?
Good. I'm very good. Very good.
Excellent. We hope all of our listeners are doing well today. Got up and got a great start to the day.
Great. It's our privilege to direct the Catholic Church's outreach in the Archdiocese of Chicago to young adults, those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And once a month, on the second Wednesday of the month, from 9 o'clock to 10 on Relevant Radio, we have this opportunity to focus on issues, concerns about the faith life of younger Catholics, young adult Catholics. And for some of you listening who are their concerned parents, perhaps concerned grandparents, friends, and so on and so forth. And we're honored to have this time together. And so this morning, we are going to focus on the Mass. And specifically, Kate, we've got a question for our listeners. Am I correct?
You are correct, Father Cusick. Last month, actually, I looked back, and we did a lot of information on why young adults don't go to church. So this month, we're going to take the flip side of that, and let's talk about why young adults, why all of us do go to church. So we invite our listeners to call in. We have a question for you. The question is, why do you go to church? What is it about Catholic Mass that's so important? So we invite you to give us a call and enter our conversation. The number here is 312-751-1979. Again, 312-751-1979. Why do you go to church?
And very interestingly, we're focusing on this because when you think about it, when people talk about their relationship to the church, they often use the Catholic Mass as a way of talking about how they're Catholic. And they'll say, and who are you? I say, well, I'm Father Cusick. Oh, Father, I didn't go to church Sunday.
Confession right there on the
right
spot.
Right on the spot. Or perhaps some of you who are young adults, who are the parents of young adults, you may hear people say, you know, I don't go to church that often anymore. Or I go all the time. So in many ways, our relationship with the faith is articulated in terms of whether or not we go to church. And I just thought it would be a good idea for us today to focus on what is so special about the Mass for us. I mean, we don't have to go and read theological treatises. We don't need even to move into the wonderful catechism. But we want to move into our own hearts, our own souls, and our own minds. Because if someone were to say to us today, if it's a young adult comes up to a mom or dad and says, hey, mom, you're always pushing me to go to church. What's so special about the Mass and going to church for you? And so that's what we want to focus on today. And I think today, Kate, we are very lucky because sitting across from me and to your left is the wonderful Father Michael Sparrow, a Jesuit living here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and along with several colleagues, Jeanine and Annie to be two of them, and Lauren in his office, coordinate and head up Charis Ministries, which is the Jesuit outreach of Ignatian Spirituality and Care to young adult people in two cities, Chicago and Cincinnati. Father Michael, let me say good morning and welcome to the Light Show.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here.
And you're back. We've had you on before, and this is a return engagement, and I'm very happy.
Always a delight.
And so this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pick Father Sparrow's brain, and we're going to mine some of our own experience, and we're going to mine our own personal faith as to why we go to Mass and what's really important about that.
Father Sparrow, why don't you tell us a little bit for our listeners, a little bit more about Charis Ministry, who you are and what you do, what that ministry is all about.
I thought you'd never ask. Charis comes from the Greek word meaning grace or mercy. And at the heart of the gospel and at the heart of the Mass is Jesus' gift of mercy, Jesus' gift of grace. That's what's central to Jesus' proclamation. Mm-hmm. Charis focuses on spirituality programs in the Ignatian tradition. That's to say the spirituality of St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. So we do retreats, days of prayer. We offer spiritual direction opportunities, pilgrimages, service trips, lecture series, different ways of engaging young adults to help them go deeper in the mm-hmm. tradition of our faith.
Mm-hmm. Michael, let me ask before we move more focused into the Mass, can you talk a little bit about what is the Ignatian tradition? I think we're aware that one of the rich experiences of Catholicism is that we have so many spiritual traditions. You have the tradition of the Franciscans, the Benedictine spirituality goes back hundreds, if not thousands, years. The spirituality of Ignatius Loyola, and so on and so forth, of St. Therese, St. John of the Cross. What about Ignatian spirituality? Is there a particular focus on that might be either unique or somewhat different than some of the other spiritualities we've mentioned?
Yes. I think that's one of the gifts of the Catholic Church, is that we have a variety of different spiritualities. Mm-hmm. In the Protestant tradition, if you have a charismatic leader, the tradition is that you form a new church. So an obvious example of that is John Wesley was a gifted charismatic leader, and he founded the Methodist Church. In the Catholic tradition, you get a charismatic leader and you get a new religious order, or you get a secular institute. Within the church. Mm-hmm. It's within our Roman Catholic communion under the headship of the Pope. St. Ignatius lived from 1491 to 1556, right in the midst of the Protestant Reformation.
Wow. Mm.
And Ignatius's gift was really taking the insight that was a legitimate critique on the part of the Protestant Reformation, that Catholics didn't have an individual experience of Scripture or an individual experience of being loved by God.
Okay.
Ignatius taught people how to engage the Scripture through their imagination, and to reverence their own personal experience of God through reflecting on their everyday experience. He used this term spiritual exercise, and okay. I love this analogy, and I think it's directly applicable to the Mass. And I just came here this morning fresh from my yoga class. So just as the body needs exercise to stay in shape,
correct.
Ignatius says, so our souls need exercise. We need spiritual exercise, otherwise we get weak and flabby.
Mm. Okay. And interestingly, so many young adult people today are really into working out.
Absolutely.
And so the question for them is, where will I do my physical exercise? What club will I join? What activity independent of a health club will I join? And so it would seem to me that there's a natural connectivity.
Absolutely.
Between physical exercise and spiritual exercise, one of which is Catholic Mass.
Yes.
And going to church, and that's where we're going to move on that.
Yeah. That's where we're at. But one other thought, we had our retreat 2 weekends ago, and two of the people on the retreat had experience with a silent retreat or a silent, an extended period of silence, and one person just mentioned how hard it was in the beginning. What do? If you can't talk to anybody, somebody led her to a room and said, here you are, now just be, and she's like, be what? How am I going to spend the next week in silence? What's this going to be like? And just the beauty of the response is when she could quiet her mind down and just be in the moment and be with the silence, which ultimately was being with God. It was a very, very powerful thing, which led us back to St. Ignatius and the 40-day silent retreats. And as challenging as that might be, especially
if
so...
30 days.
I'm sorry. Okay, the 30-day silent
retreat. 10 days of recovery.
There you go.
30 silence and 10,
yeah.
You can't stop talking.
All right. Stand corrected.
Great.
But that sense of finding God in the silence and slowing down and the different tools that we have as Catholics to grow deeper in faith and get more connected to the source of life.
Great. I think we're going to take a break.
We're going to go to a break. We thank you for being with us. Again, our number, should you wish to enter our conversation, is 312-751-1979. We invite you to think about why you go to church, so you can call us in a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Hi, I'm Sean Harriott. Join me 6 days a week as we help bridge the gap between faith and everyday life, talking about the intersection of faith and everyday life, and help you live your life in the world as a Catholic.
Plus, get all the latest Chicagoland news, traffic, and weather. Start your day with Morning Air on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
That's a morning.
And we are back with more of The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Father Michael Sparrow from Charis Ministries, and I am here too, Kate DeVries, from the Young Adult Ministry Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And what I'd like to do now is share just a little bit of a journey that Father Terry Keehan took. He's pastor at St. Matthias Parish in the northwest corner of Chicago. And he went coast to coast looking to find young adults who were very active in their church and asked them why they go to church. And then through them, he found young adults who weren't particularly connected to church and had a conversation about that. But what I'd like to share is what he learned from the young adults that he was in communication with, that he had great conversations with, about why they go to church. When asked, he found five principal reasons. 38% of the young adults he connected with said, "I've had positive experiences of community. I felt supported, connected, and encouraged. I'm an active participant. I feel a sense of belonging in my church. I go to share my faith, my values, and fellowship with others who believe what I believe." The next point he found, 17% of the people he spoke with said, "Going to church helps me to reflect. It gives me perspective on my life. It helps to clarify values. It helps me cope, and it gives me strength." 17% of the young adults he spoke with said, "I go to church to pray and feel close to God. It helps me maintain a relationship with God. It's my weekly renewal, and I experience God's love at Mass." Another 14% of those he spoke with said, "I give thanks to God when I go to church. I love to experience the Eucharist. I love to experience the real presence of Jesus in Eucharist. I go for communion." And an additional 10% says, "The church has helped me grow spiritually. I want to grow deeper. I want to develop." That was what we were talking about, the spiritual strength, spiritual exercises, and that help fills a void. It feeds a hunger. And we know young adults are very spiritually
sure.
hungry.
Can we take a call, Kate?
Sure.
James, good morning.
Hey, Father.
How are you today?
Good morning.
James, how first of all, how's life in West Chicago?
It's a little damp out here.
a soft day, as they would say, huh?
It's damp.
It's all in our attitude.
I know it is.
And
if I finish my morning prayers, I'd be all right.
There you go. James, you have a comment about our faith and how that relates to Mass. Am I correct? Great.
I was a cradle Catholic. I am a cradle Catholic my whole life, and last year I made my Crisil.
Oh, wonderful.
And I didn't realize how blessed I am.
There you go.
To have Catholic faith. The Catholic Mass, it's such a great gift that Jesus gave us. You know, our prayers are the strongest at the consecration and the Holy Mass. And it's my fuel for my week.
Mm.
I mean, I feel so empty when I don't pray a rosary, let alone go to Mass. That's a gift that we were given. And I feel so bad for all the times I didn't realize how special and how blessed we are to have a Mass.
Sure.
I wish, you know, I could go to Mass every day, but being at 8 o'clock in the morning at my parish, yeah. I can't do that.
Sure.
I'm praying for Mass at night.
There you go. There you go.
And I ask God, I ask people to really realize what a blessing our faith is.
Sure.
I want to do things like the men's conference Saturday in DeKalb.
Okay.
Go work a Crisil.
Sure.
Go to the Catholic conference. They had the Divine Mercy.
Right.
Their last Saturday at the Marriott. That was so uplifting. Being blessed with from St. Faustina, a relic.
Sure, and being blessed with so many other people like you. That sense of you're not in this alone. There's a lot of us.
I said after drinking alcohol or doing drugs in my life, mm-hmm. which I have sinned, oh my God, how high I get on the Lord now.
Sure.
I wish people could experience some of the things I have been able to do with, like, Eucharistic adoration.
Sure.
And prayer.
Right.
And the Mass is the center. It should be the center of our week, every week.
Sure.
And I 25% of people attend Mass that are Catholic.
Well,
what are the rest
Mass,
of us doing?
Right. And it's about 20% attend regularly. That means there's quite a few who attend probably less regularly, but occasionally. But you're correct, and we would hope that we can invite people to break bread with us. I think, James, one of the great things we can do is to say, how about joining me this weekend? And I,
Amen.
You said something which I've scribbled down on my page, and you may see it someplace in the future. I'm a great one for lifting great insights from other people, and that is, it's you saw the Mass as fuel for the week.
Oh, yeah.
And there's really something about that. One of the amazing things, James, about our ancestors, our spiritual or religious ancestors, and why they worshipped once a week is absolutely fascinating. They believe you couldn't make a significant promise and keep it for longer than 7 days. And so they came back to recommit themselves. This would be in what we would call the Old Testament. They came back once a week to recommit themselves that God is our God and we are God's people and we're going to give it a try one more time.
You know, another point that James makes that I think is so relevant here is that he's been a cradle Catholic, but through the experience of his Crisil, he's come back to something that he thought he knew,
right.
which was the Catholic Mass and his Catholic faith, and he's rediscovered the power of that.
Exactly.
I think that's the experience of so many young adults. Many of them have been raised Catholic and have given up on the Mass, given up on the Church, and they don't realize the gift that's there.
Absolutely.
They have to mine that and go deeper.
And we need to encourage people to keep trying.
Yes.
To see all things new, or even to see old things new. Yeah. And I think that that's what is such an important thing for us.
And Mass as an adult is very different than Mass as a child. You know, people come and say, I got so tired, you stand, sit, kneel. Is that all there is to it? But once you learn about the Mass and learn why we stand when we stand, why we kneel when we kneel, it makes so much more sense.
Sure.
So just getting a deeper understanding. And I know there are programs offered through Young Adult Ministry that just help to take apart the Mass and flesh out what it is we're doing and why we do it and what the symbols are. We have a great, rich symbol system in our church, and to understand it more fully helps us to be more fully present and go that little extra deeper to that.
And so, James, we thank you so much for your comment and your insight. That this is fuel for the week. Now, when we come back from our break, I'm putting my boss, Kate DeVries, and our spiritual hero, Father Sparrow, on the line, because they're going to have to answer the question. Okay, Kate. Okay, Michael. Why do you go to Mass?
Why do you go to Mass? And
we'll be back.
Right back.
Each year in Chicago, 3,000 children are reported sexually abused. The Chicago Children's Advocacy Center restores the trust that was once lost. It's a place where professionals come together under one roof and abused children tell their stories. A place where they can get help immediately. Support the Chicago Children's Advocacy Center. For more information or to help, call 1-877-703-HOPE or visit chicagocac.org.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
And we are back with more of The Light Show right here on Relevant Radio, AM 820. This is Kate DeVries along with Father John Cusick and Father Michael Sparrow. And we are talking about the Mass and why we go to Mass. And we invite you to join our conversation. You can call us right here at the studio, 312-751-1979.
Okay, Kate, let's put Father Sparrow's
foot
to the fire.
Let's do it.
Father Sparrow. Someone come up to you, and I'm sure they do on a regular basis, and they say, not just that you're a priest, Father Sparrow, and a brilliant Jesuit.
Brilliant. He is really, really good.
As a man of faith, why does Michael Sparrow choose to go to Catholic Mass?
The starting point, John, is because I am a man of faith, and that faith is in Jesus. The Mass is divided into two major segments, the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist. I find it extremely important and so helpful in my own life to continue to understand my own journey of faith by reflecting on God's Word. And that's something that all Christians, Catholic Christians, Protestant Christians, Orthodox Christians, share in common. And sometimes when Catholics think about the Mass, they just jump to the gift of communion or Eucharist. But the Mass includes it. The whole first half of the Mass is a reflection on God's Word.
Right.
I need to hear that word every day. I find that I can get disoriented. Our culture is getting faster and faster. Kate was talking earlier about the gift of silence. If a day goes by and I don't reflect on God's word, I don't somehow encounter Jesus within the Scripture, I find myself disoriented. Mass is an anchor. It helps me stay connected to that which is most important. We open the program by talking about that hunger and that spiritual hunger that I think everybody in our culture, but especially young adults, are very sensitive to avoid inside our hearts. James, the last caller, talked about his attempt to fill that void with drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. What better way is there to put that to fill that God-sized hole in our hearts than with God,
right?
With the gift of Holy Communion. So it's, for me, it's anchoring my life in God's Word, and it's filling that hunger with the gift of Eucharist, which draws me closer to the source of life itself, which is Jesus.
And Father Sparrow, in reflecting on that, I think it's important for all of us to hear that, because so often today, when you get people you know, talking about the Mass, particularly younger people, as the three of us are privileged, with whom we're privileged to speak, you know, so often it's the externals.
Yes.
I don't like the music.
Yes.
You know, the preaching is pretty lousy, and we can attest to that. But yet, what we have to do is to look inside, first of all. And what do we bring to the table?
Yes.
What do we hear with our ears? You know, what do we take into ourselves when we say amen to the body of Christ that has something greater than the preaching, something more significant than whether the music is good or not?
Yeah. Father John, an analogy that says that pretty well for me is a sports analogy, and I know you're a great Cub fan and you have season
tickets. Suffering.
That's right. Now, if somebody comes from outside the United States and they don't understand the intricacies of baseball, and right now the Bears are really hot, or don't understand what's going on in football, you look at that experience from the outside and you scratch your head and you say, what's all the excitement? But especially for a Cub fan, a lot of times you don't have a whole lot to hold on to by way of the victories.
Right.
But, you know, you read the sports commentaries, you listen to sports shows, you go to the games with your friends, and it's not just about what's going on the team, on the field, that's important, but it's what you bring to that game that helps generate the excitement and the appreciation. So whether the Cubs win or whether the Cubs lose, whether the manager is in or whether the manager walks, you can say, you know, I really enjoyed that game, I enjoyed that season.
Right.
The same thing, let's face it, not all priests are equally gifted homilists.
Right.
You, Father John, happen to be exceptional, and there are a lot of young adults that come because they love to hear what you have to say. But say you're in a parish where the priest isn't as exciting, or the Mass or the music isn't as exciting. I would challenge the young adults to go deeper, and as Kate was saying, to learn about the history of the Mass, to study the Scripture, and if you come bringing to that experience the richness of your own faith and your own study and your own excitement, whether the music is terrific or whether the homily may be off a little bit that particular weekend, it can still be something that feeds our spirits and anchors us in our lives.
Absolutely. Michael, I pose a question to myself, which I also have to answer it. And it's one that I ask young adults continually. In a world and in a time in your life where you can have almost anything you want, what do you really need? You know, we're talking about a generation of people from 40 down to 20, many of them very well educated, making some pretty decent money, some certainly not all, people who immigrate to our country in that age group, who see the dream enfleshed before their very eyes, coming from, whether they come from south of our border, off of the oceans, east or west, or wherever they come from. They're looking, and all of a sudden, they may wind up, as I do, with a credit card in my pocket, where my credit balance is $35,000. I could go out and buy two cars. I mean, somebody is willing to risk me, and I can go and do that right now. But the question we have to ask is, and this is where I think the bread of life answers it, where you can have anything you want, what do you really need? Mm-hmm. What will the world not take away from you? We see in the young adult world how many people have become cynical about the job place. Not that they don't love work, but it's such a shaky place. That if that's gone, and you face sickness, and you watch your family age and a variety of things, that's gone. What I'm hearing younger people say is, what do I really need?
Yes.
And I think the answer is, if you come to the Eucharist, and if you can feed off of the Word of God, really listen, and if you can stand forward, come forward, hold your head high, and say amen to the body of Christ, there are certain things in this world that will never leave you.
Yes.
And that to me is so powerful for Mass, for me personally.
Yes.
Very important. We have a caller, Kate?
We have a caller. We have Josephine from Chicago. Good morning, Josephine.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine.
Excellent.
And I thank God for your program.
Oh, you're so sweet. Now, Josephine, I always like to know, what side of the city do you live on?
North side.
You do? Yeah. Everything is okay this morning there?
Yes. Well, it's a little dreary, but
it's so again, it's all fine. About the attitude.
Okay.
I have a question
sure.
I really need help. I mean,
okay.
You could help me.
Fire away. Father Sparrow has every answer you need.
I'm sure he does. Okay, I've been a Catholic all my life. I grew up in Europe. I came here when I was 14.
Wow.
Up until 14, my whole life was Christ. I didn't know too much about it. I just knew Christ was there, and I mean my life revolved around the church.
Right.
Okay?
Sure.
Then I came here, still kept going to church, still go to church. I got married in church, the whole bit.
Right.
But I remember as a young girl when I used to go to church, I mean I really talked to God and I would leave church and I felt good. Lately, in my old age, with so much going on, the children, the grandchildren, the brothers, and this and that. When I go to church, sometimes I cannot concentrate. I mean, I go because I have to go. All right?
Sure.
What can I do to get that feeling back?
Okay. Father Michael, you want to take a shot
sure.
at that?
Yes.
Josephine's question?
Yes. Josephine, a couple of ideas. One is... in the Liturgy of the Word, the first part of the Mass, I think it's very, very helpful if you can do some prep work ahead of time. You can go to the bishop's website, or you can subscribe to a publication called Magnificat. There are different publications that are out there, or buy a missal, so that you know in advance what the readings are going to be at that Mass, and read them. And do a little bit of private prayer, or better yet, join a Bible study group so that you're studying that scripture, so that when you come to Mass, you're engaged and you're ready and you're eager to hear that word, hear how it's proclaimed, and you want to compare your own insights with the insight that the priest or the deacon is going to give in the homily. So if you do that prep work, I absolutely guarantee you, because you're invested, you're going to bring a lot more to the table. In the second part of the liturgy, it's important for us to be able to say the prayers out loud. Sometimes we just mumble them. Make sure that you're saying the responses. You're looking forward to saying those responses. That you're singing the songs, that you're engaged in the song. Also, pay attention to your posture at Mass. The simple gestures of making the sign of the cross or bowing, or standing or kneeling that Kate was referring to earlier.
Right.
You know, if we're slouched, it's a lot easier to have our minds drift. But then also I would say it's only natural for us to be distracted. And if you find yourself distracted, there's the opportunity to re-engage and to choose again to be present to the experience, rather than beating ourselves up and say, oh my goodness, I'm not getting anything out of this. Here I am thinking about the meal that I'm going to be preparing tonight.
Right.
No, just let that go and say, Lord, I love you. I want to be here. Thank you for what you're giving to me. Let me give you the gift of my heart.
I would certainly try, because I really would like to get that feeling back.
Sure.
You know.
But Josephine, let me...
But I think the church is here. They're too casual. They go to church dressed in shorts, and you know, there's no respect. When I grew up in Catholic Church in Europe, I mean, you wouldn't dare to go to church unless you were dressed up, and you went to church, and nobody talked, and you sat there. We always went before the Mass started, you know, 10 minutes, and you had a chance to pray, and then the priest would come, and so on and so forth. But I don't find this here. It's just
sure.
like, oh, it's a duty. I have to go to church, and then that's it.
Well, I think, Josephine, a couple things. First of all, I believe respect comes from within. I think so often we think, well, if I just wear a nice dress and a veil, I think respect for the Lord is something I bring to church. And I think that, to me, is the most important thing. And secondly, let me add a little comment at the end of Father Michael's. I think so often you say, how do I get that feeling back? It's not going to be there every week. I really do think that what we are looking to do is create a spiritual practice of regularly attending Mass. And there's going to be moments, there's going to be times when insights happen or we hear something from the Scripture that we've not heard in a while, and yet we say thanks be to God twice a Sunday, every Sunday. There are going to be moments when you bring something, maybe going on in your own life, and you put that before the Lord that week, and somehow in some way offering that to the Lord, there is that sense. See, I think the difficulty here is also the American culture. We want to be entertained all the time. We sit in front of our TV flipping stations until we find something to give us immediate gratification. The Mass is the long commitment that God will care for us, not just for us to be entertained. We hope that helps a little bit. Kate, we need
Josephine,
a break.
Josephine, thank you so much for your call. And yes, you are listening to The Light Show on Relevant Radio, AM 820, and we will be right back.
Too late to register your pre-K children in one of the excellent Catholic elementary schools in Chicago and the suburbs. Registration is open for 3- and 4-year-old pre-K children, as well as kindergarten through 8th grade student transfers. Perhaps you've heard the impressive numbers, test scores above national standards, a 19-to-1 student-teacher ratio, a 97% attendance rate, students who go on to successful high school and college experiences and become the leaders of tomorrow. Go to the Catholic school of your choice for more information, or go online and visit the school's webpage at www.archchicago.org. That's www.archchicago.org. Catholic schools, where faith and education meet.
Hi, I'm Sean Harriott. Join me 6 days a week as we help bridge the gap between faith and everyday life, talking about the intersection of faith and everyday life, and help you live your life in the world as a Catholic.
Plus, get all the latest Chicagoland news, traffic, and weather. Start your day with Morning Air on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
It's a Morning Air.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we are back with The Light Show, Father John Cusick, Father Michael Sparrow, and Miss Kate DeVries, and welcome back. We are talking about young adult ministry, and we are talking about why go to church. So we are grateful to have you with us this morning. If there's something that Father Cusick or I can do for you, you can reach us at the office at 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473, or you can jump onto our website for a complete look at what we're up to right now. That address is yamchicago.org. And Father Spiro, you want to tell people where they can get information on Caris?
Absolutely. Our website is Caris, that's spelled C-H-A-R-I-S, Caris Ministries, one word, .org. Or you can give us a call at 773-508-3237.
And there you'll be put in touch with a number of programs on spiritual development. Am I correct, Michael, for young adults in their 20s and 30s? And before we go off the air, we're going to ask you, before we close, to share with our listening audience today some of the activities that Caris has coming up.
Absolutely.
As Kate will share some of the activities that the young adult ministry office has. I got this idea to talk about why we go to church because I read an article in a recent Catholic magazine, and it was written by an uncle of a young man who this young man came home one day and announced to his father, this gentleman's brother, "Dad, I'm no longer going to Mass," and how much that sank his heart. And what he was basically talking about is, I'm probably cutting off, I'm going to be a spiritual person, but I don't need this religion stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things today that the three of us deal with on a regular basis in working with younger Catholics, that they really are spiritual people. And when I talk to parents whose sons and daughters, married or single, are in their young adult years, they'll say, "Father, you know, I've raised good kids. They're kind. They're generous. The things they've done with their lives far surpass what my wife and I have done. But they just don't go to church."
Yes.
And so somewhere along the line, they've pulled the plug and lost the connectivity between being a spiritual human being and oftentimes what I believe feeds our spirituality. Let me share. I was on an airplane recently flying to Washington, D.C. to preach a parish mission, and I started scribbling down one-liners, and I said, "Well, why do I go to church? Hey, Father Cusick, why do you go?" And one of the ones that is very important to me, over and above all the other things that we've already talked about, is I am called at the beginning of Mass to forgive myself, to forgive others, and to know that God does not hold a grudge. And this is very important to me in my life. And I'd like to suggest this to many younger Catholics. When we go to church on Sunday, and a presider says, "Let us call to mind our sins," that's not time for us to wallow in guilt and feeling lousy about who we are. It's get your baggage out of the way. Let go of it right now. Do it right now. Throw yourself on the Lord for mercy so that you can hear the message of God's word and that you can hold your head high when the Lord Jesus Christ wants to feed you the body of Christ. And that has become, maybe it's because I'm an old guy, but I do think among a lot of younger people too, we let our baggage possess us. And where do you go in the culture? Are you going to go for a physical exercise on a rowing machine and that's going to let go of your past? I don't think so. Ours is a faith, and Jesus is the Lord who calls us to be fully alive, free of our past, that we can claim our inheritance as the daughters and sons of God. And amazingly, that begins at the beginning of Catholic Mass. Let us call to mind our sins. Who you were is never as important in God's eyes as who you will be.
We could make a strong argument, too, that Mass is the most perfect form of reconciliation, that we reconcile with our God, we reconcile with one another, we pray the Our Father together, and then we enter into communion after having reconciled.
We still got to mention, Kate, the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, where we encounter, you know, mm-hmm. Christ mm-hmm. in the ways where we look for that healing and that forgiveness, you know, through our church. But all of these things happen at Mass.
And I think
that baggage that you were talking about, Father John, is sometimes forgiving ourselves and sometimes it's forgiving others.
Exactly.
We can stumble over our own stuff and we can stumble over the splinter in our brother or sister's eye as well. So we're coming together. And I think this is one of the central points, is we don't come to Mass just by ourselves. We come together as a community
right,
of faith.
Exactly.
That's the way that Jesus taught us to pray, was our Father. It's not my mm-hmm. Father, but mm-hmm. it's our Father. We're in this together.
I've been known to say on a number of occasions, and Kate probably gets tired of hearing me say it, that when I reflect on the Our Father, there's three words, prominent English words, that are not found in that prayer. I, me, or my. It's our, us, and we. And I think... Michael,
and you isn't in there either.
You isn't in there either. It's the plural. It's us.
Yeah.
Us.
And I can see, however, why this whole concept of we and us is so difficult for younger people. They've got a world where it's about me.
Yes.
You know, what have you done for me lately? How is this going to make me happy? Well, I think there's a transition in people's lives from me to a wider worldview that somehow makes me connected to us. And I would like to suggest to younger Catholics, if they're listening today or listening if they download this from our website, that part of the power of Catholic Mass is you find Christ in the people of God. It's not you and your plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of your car. This is an effort of connectivity, of communion with the world in which we live. And so when we call to mind our sins, you're right, it's how we how are we relating to that world out there.
And there's I'm sure you'd agree with this, that there's a tremendous desire in young adults today to want to give back and to be of service. Mm-hmm. Service projects, mm-hmm. young adults have been in some ways heroic in responding to some of the crises and disasters. Every year at Caris, we run a service trip, and we have several times a year, we have different days of service where young adults take time off, give up their free time to give back to the community. What I would say is that it's very difficult to sustain that, because as we give ourselves to others, as we're in a relationship, we tend to be hurt because people are imperfect. And you get hurt enough, and then you start to become bitter. So there's that good desire of, I want to be a generous, I want to be loving, I want to be a spiritual person. We made the mistake in the 1960s of thinking, you know, free love, just love everybody and the world will be a better place. Well, there's this reality called original sin. There's this reality called brokenness. And we need, at the very beginning of the Mass, to come and to say, I can't do this on my own. I need the community of faith. I need God's grace to help me be the kind of person I want to be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I am not held to my past. It's God standing in front of us, calling us to where we're going. I think, Kate, we have a comment from John. John, you got, your mother had a great idea in names as well, didn't she?
Good morning, John. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Sorry we had to let you hang there for a while, but we get wound up here, you know. And you always have to defer to the Jesuits. I hope you know that.
Oh, it's okay. I think my dad was trained by Jesuits.
Oh, my God. How about that? Father Michael is beaming. God bless him.
So I have a certain way of looking at the faith, but
good.
The Mass for me is very tangible. As Father was saying, Father John was saying, that, you know, you could derive some meaning of God and Christ in Scripture, and I do. I read the daily Missalette, and I have a Bible along with it.
Wonderful.
And it's a good way to reflect on God's Word so that you can practice your faith. I have evangelical friends that I study with, and it's a little bit sad to me that they do not have the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is so much, it's tangibility, it's real, it's supernatural, but it's also bread and wine that are transformed. It's something we can touch. We know we're on this earth, but it gives us the power not only to recognize God, but to see the truth, the reality in what he's asking for us to be, like the Beatitudes, to be more than this earthly form. And that's why I tie all this into my work that I do in the area of Berwyn and other communities in the pro-life area. I'm involved with the center there.
Great.
And if you, this is all empowering, and we need reconciling with mothers and women that have had abortions and they know that they did something wrong, but they must know that God is forgiving and merciful.
Yeah, that is so essential, because I'm sure, John, like you, I consider it a grace moment when you deal with people who really have reflected on some awful things they've done with their life. And I think we have to call them to healing. They have to know, put it before the Lord, get rid of it, move on, go forward, and be embraced by God's love. And I don't know where you get that in the world today. You get that through the faith, however.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is the tangibility. And John, I concur on that, because, see, the greatness of Catholicism for me is that it's an earthy religion. God dwells among us. And that, to me, is the power of Eucharist, as you are saying. that
it's an earthy religion, or another way of saying the same thing is it's a very sensual religion.
There you go. Okay.
Thomas Aquinas taught that the way that we learn about life is through our senses, and it's not accidental that Jesus gave us this powerful sacrament of bread that we would eat transformed into his body, of wine that we would drink transformed into his blood. That's a very sensual experience of eating and drinking. The Catholic faith is a very sense-oriented religion. God's grace comes to us through these five ways of encountering life, and they come together in the Mass.
And we do use the elements. We use water and bread and oil and all of the, you know, the incense. We like the smells. We hear the bells, the music. It all works together. It's Father Cusick was talking earlier about the drama of liturgy, the dance of liturgy, God's presence in our midst worked out through our art and every expression of our lives and of our living. The stories that are told in the stained glass window, it all comes together to help us move to that place where we can experience God's love.
And liturgy well done touches us through our heads, mm-hmm. in terms of our understanding the faith better, and it touches us through our hearts. And I think that's especially where the artistic element of the stained glass windows and the beautiful music and the vestments, the altar settings, all of those become ways in which God's grace comes to us.
Yes. And I think on that note, we should take a break. We have one more break, so thank you so much for staying with us. You're listening to The Light Show on Relevant Radio, AM 820, and we will be back in 1 minute.
Poverty is no stranger to Illinois. The number of people living in poverty in this state has jumped by more than 30% in the last 5 years. We have the highest rate of deep poverty in the Midwest. The poor are not only growing in numbers, they're also getting poorer. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development breaks the cycle of poverty. It funds programs to create jobs, increase affordable housing, and protect the rights of workers, seniors, immigrants, and the disabled. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Help break the cycle of poverty.
It's not too late to register your pre-K children in one of the excellent Catholic elementary schools in Chicago and the suburbs. Registration is open for 3- and 4-year-old pre-K children, as well as kindergarten through 8th grade student transfers. Perhaps you've heard the impressive numbers, test scores above national standards, a 19-to-1 student-teacher ratio, a 97% attendance rate, students who go on to successful high school and college experiences and become the leaders of tomorrow. Go to the Catholic school of your choice for more information, or go online and visit the school's webpage at www.archchicago.org. That's www.archchicago.org. Catholic schools, where faith and education meet. And welcome back to The Light Show with Father Michael Sparrow, Father John Cusick, and Kate DeVries. We are delighted that you are with us. We have been talking about the Mass and the beauty of the Mass and the gift of the Mass.
This has been a delightful, conversation.
Has. Absolutely.
Now, we've...
But only too short.
That's always the problem. We're running out of time. We've only got about 5 minutes, and we need to share some things that are going on in both Young Adult Ministry and Charis Ministries, and... we've had a couple other people who have called, and we've kept them on hold, hoping that we could get to them. And we're basically really out of time for that. And we thank so much for the interest in talking about the Mass and the wonderful comments that we've gotten. And Kate said to me, well, don't you have a whole list? Let me just do one other thing about, and then we'll make it quick. This one is something that struck me from God rest his soul, Father Robert McLaughlin, who used to be the pastor of Holy Name Cathedral, and when he died, he was pastor of Mary Seat of Wisdom in Park Ridge. He told me, he said, remember how the Mass ends? It says, go. The Mass is ended. It really means you're sent.
Commissioned.
Commissioned. It's not just leave the building, go, not go home. It's go into the world. And remember when Jesus, at the end of the Gospels, when we celebrate them on Ascension Thursday, go into the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in many ways, it's what our first caller said today. This is fuel for my week. We now have to go filled with the body of Christ, charged up and challenged by the Word of God, and now we have to go and live the message ourselves, always in relationship to the people of the world. We're in communion with God's people.
And to use that analogy of food, if we just eat and then we don't exercise, you end up getting fat. The Eucharist is not
and
simply...
unhealthy.
And lazy.
And lazy.
And slow.
Yes.
And here we're told, go.
Go.
You are sent into the world.
Yeah.
And again, where are you hearing that? You're hearing that from the Catholic faith. It's not just about me and my personal faith. It's about my personal faith connecting with the name of the Lord, who went from town to town and the crowds followed.
Yes.
He healed the sick. He took care of the broken, and he brought people to the presence of their God. So that's another one for me about the power of
yes.
Catholic Mass.
And Jesus said, do this in memory of me.
Right.
And the doing this is taking the bread and wine and doing this in memory of me. And the doing this is washing one another's feet and living the faith.
Living in love. Excellent.
Before we go off the air, Kate, for another month, what do we have to offer young adult Catholics in the Archdiocese and then Father Sparrow for Charis Ministries?
All right. Young Adult Ministry continues its yacht clubs, the Young Adult Catholics Hanging Together. At several locations around the Archdiocese, you can come for a meal, come for some great input from one of our speakers, and then just some good conversation with people your own age who share your faith. The yacht clubs happen the first, second, and third Tuesdays of every month and the third Thursday of every month. Upcoming yacht clubs for this month include on October 17th, Yacht Club Chicago will meet at Fizz Bar and Grill. Father Brito Berkmans, one of our most popular speakers, is addressing the topic, the Book of Revelation, so you're most welcome to come and be part of that. And also on October 19th, the Yacht Club in the Northwest Suburbs will meet at Champs Americana Restaurant in Schaumburg, and that's going to be another wonderful, wonderful event. Complete details about all of the events we sponsor are on our website, yamchicago.org. Again, yamchicago.org. And just to highlight, the very first Sunday of every month, we do host a Mass specifically for young adults. We invite all young adults of the Archdiocese to join us at Old St. Patrick's Church. Again, the first Sunday of every month, Old St. Pat's, 11:15. Come for Mass, stay for the brunch afterward. Father Sparrow?
Let me mention a couple of things, and again, you can go to our website, which is Charis Ministries, C-H-A-R-I-S, charisministries.org. Tomorrow night at St. Teresa's Parish, we're hosting a Vesper service. Vesper is a powerful way of experiencing prayer in another form outside of the Mass. We have a individually directed retreat that's coming up October 20th to 22nd. That's a silent, individually directed retreat at the Fullerton Cenacle. Unfortunately, that's sold out. So it's filled up, but we're going to be doing another one of those in January. We have a called and chosen program on Saturday, October 28th at St. Vincent Fair, and that's going to be repeated on the south side on Saturday, November 11th to learn more about our Catholic faith.
Thank you.
Thank you. Father Sparrow, thanks. Kate, thanks.
Thanks.
And to our wonderful
music.
Callers. Those we were able to get in and those who had called and we left you on hold, we apologize for that and thank you all for being with us. See you next month.
Thanks for having me.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. a wonderful day, and God bless you.